This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Let's see. On Tuesday, we're going to have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And because it is Tuesday, Fish on Friday on Tuesday. He had some, I was talking to him about what he might, he hasn't sent me the list yet of topics, but he was talking to me about some things that he might talk about. And there was some, I think there was some advice. I think there was some New Year's advice or, some wisdom. Some wisdom. There's stories, studies he's read recently that suggest different ways of doing anything. It was funny because one of the things over Christmas, we did a couple of Yankee swaps. You know what they are? It's White Elephant. What you get to steal other people's gifts, you know, like this person.
Dirty Santa?
Yeah, it's sort of Dirty Santa. Is that how that works? Everyone gives it a different. Someone picks a gift, and then the next person can either take what's in the middle or can steal that gift, right? And then the next person takes what's wrapped package behind door number 3, or they can take person 1 or person 2's gift. And if they take their gift, they go back in. Anyway, we did that with a couple of different things, and including a book swap. And one of the books was called Atomic Habits. Have you ever heard of Atomic Habits?
I don't think I have.
Okay, so I haven't read it myself. In fact, I don't believe I've ever read a self-help book of any kind. Have you?
Not that I can think of.
Maybe this would.
Well, okay.
Maybe I should. Maybe this would be the time to begin.
In seventh grade, we had to read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens.
Oh, really? That's a self-help.
So it was Covey's son wrote the follow-up.
Really? Okay.
Former BYU quarterback.
Do you remember any of the habits?
Be organized. Not really.
That's it? Anyway, Atomic Habits.
Yankee Swap and Dirty Santa are the same thing.
Yeah, there you go. So, Atomic Habits, again, I've never read a self-help book of any kind, and I probably would be better off if I had.
There's the fun in that.
One of the deals is if you want to develop a new habit, I think it's called habit stacking. And I'm sure people out there know what I'm talking about. What's something you like to do?
Play golf.
Okay, that you do. Well, that would work. But what's something you like to do that you do nearly every day? This radio show, obviously, but beyond that. Here's one. For example, I like having a cup of coffee in the morning, right?
And then I get heartburn.
I really like the first sip of the first cup of coffee. So if there's something that you like to do with habit stacking, what you do is while that you're preparing or whatever else, you do something. In other words, while the coffee is brewing, you pick something that you don't really like to do, but you know you should do.
Sure.
Maybe some
cleaning, whatever.
Calisthenics, maybe some cleaning, maybe writing a list, organizing your day. Something that you resist doing.
Yep.
but that you can do while the other thing, while you're preparing to do the other thing, right, is that's called habit stacking. And so, for example, my brother-in-law, Joe, I don't know who takes baths anymore, but he takes baths, okay? And so while the bath is running, he always does some push-ups, sit-ups, like whatever.
Sure.
You know, like that.
Yep.
That's called habit stacking.
Yeah.
So see how you can fit that in your life. But then there's another one, which is it doesn't – habit stacking seems to involve while this is happening, you do this, right? While you're waiting, you know, whatever you do. The other one is – I forgot the term for it, but it's basically just not allowing yourself to do the thing you like before you do the thing. It's sort of reward,
sure.
Right? And that is I'm not going to allow myself to have that first cup of coffee – until I blank. And that's the way that you effectively begin developing new habits. And then what is it, 90 days or something you have to do a habit before it becomes a habit?
That's at least probably.
How to get on this? Oh, yeah, we talk about Charles and advice.
It feels like also like a lot of these things are, as soon as you get out of the habit, it's like you got to start back at zero.
Well, I don't know why. I've always wondered why. For example, exercise, after I do it, I always feel good having done it, right?
Lucky one.
But why doesn't that motivate you to continue to do it? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's still an effort to get you to do it. It is still, you would think. Yesterday I was productive. The 2 days before I really wasn't productive. I feel better after the productive day. So why isn't it easier for me to embark on productive days knowing that at the end of the day I'll feel better?
I don't know, because I've always thought the ratio of getting in shape versus staying in shape is not fair.
No, that is 100%. You can you miss a week of exercises and you feel
like
a disaster.
It's one thing for it to be like 2-1 or 3-1, but it feels like it's like 7-1. But I've never been one of those guys that when you work out, like I tried every workout from lifting weights to cardio.
Well,
like I've
for
never.
Me, it's very clear that what has worked, A, is my kids leaving the house.
Yeah. Free time.
The most effective, it was my kids leaving, because then I have more time, honestly. You just have more time. So much of the time when you're a parent is spent collapsed, right? You just spent collapsed in exhaustion.
Or just going to war.
And you don't feel like you survived this day. I don't feel like the internal drive. God bless anyone who feels like the way I'm going to escape and restore myself is by exercise. But the most important thing was to have my kids grow up and leave. Love them. But then the next important thing for me was a discovery that I don't actually like exercising by myself.
Yeah, you like the group.
Willing myself to do it. So I had the running group at the CI running group while my knees still allowed. That was great. Now I have this
Sinal
yoga place where I do mostly hot Pilates. But I've done it.
Very Lane Kiffin of you.
What's that?
Very Lane Kiffin of you.
Very Lane Kiffin of me. If only I had Lane's salary.
Mm-hmm.
One day. And
still time, Jeff.
But that one I've done now 4 years, and I'm kind of compulsive about counting things, and I'm about to hit 400 times, and so that's basically twice a week for 4 years.
Yep.
Like if you can do something twice a week for 4 years, and then with bikes, it's bike groups, same thing. Like I do bike groups. I can't. All I have to do is, as they say, make it to your mat, and then they tell you what to do. All you got to do is show up.
Yep.
So for me, classes help. Anyway, Fishman is going to be here with his own advice. Evidently, that's what he said. One of the things he's going to talk about. And then we got Chris Harrington as well. Maybe you out there don't want to do anything. Maybe your lives are just sailing along just fine. You don't need advice. Well, good for you, man. Good for you. I do. I do want to report that on the happy news, Jeffrey, I went to what do you call the motor vehicle place, the registrar, the clerk?
The DMV.
DMV. No, but yeah, right, them. Clerk's office? Is it the clerk's
office? County clerk's,
yeah. Yeah. I went there yesterday, and it was wildly successful. It was not a miserable experience. It took me certainly less than an hour, in and out. It was all caused because in all of my elaborate habit stacking and everything else, I was driving along before Christmas and I was pulled over by a state trooper.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh no, in the trusty minivan. And I was gobsmacked. What could I possibly, I could not imagine what I had done. It didn't feel like I was doing anything illicit.
It's tough for your car to speed too.
And I not speeding. I just could not imagine. I wasn't late through a yellow light. I didn't. And the young woman, it was a young woman. She couldn't have been more than 26. She comes up and I said, what could I possibly have done? And she said, could I see your registration? And it turns out my registration expired in 23. And I'd been driving around unlawfully. Now, I've gotten my kids' cars registered.
You didn't do something for you, Jeff.
It's not something I typically drag my feet on. I must have missed the email, the mail, whatever.
You can do it online and you haven't moved until this year.
And then you wait. That's the thing. If you wait beyond 90 days, then you can't do it online. It's easy to do online. It's expensive. It's kind of ridiculous that every year you've got to pay another $135 to register your car. But once you let 90 days lapse, and by the way, I was way past 90 days.
Just a day or two.
What do you think she did by way of a ticket?
Don't they have to? At that point, they have to write you a citation.
She let me off.
Okay, so instead, just go to the DMV.
She said, well, I started immediately fumbling for my glove compartment, pulling out 73,000 different sheets of paper. I said, this must be.
The scene from Liar Liar when Jim Carrey opens it up.
I really was stunned.
I couldn't.
And I was stunned that I said, no, it must have been registered. I said, I must just not. Someone must have stolen the little sticker thing or something because I always register. And I pulled out and I looked flummoxed. And I think I looked sufficiently confused that she just said, I trust that you're going to get this taken care of. Please go get it taken care of.
And I did.
And you
rewarded her trust.
And here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. It took me less than an hour at the downtown one where you had such a great experience with your marriage certificate. Way back when. All right. That's the radio show today. Free advice, habit stacking already, and we're going to have Fishman with more. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I will ask you this, Jeffrey. We'll start with a little bit about the NFL.
All right.
If you, most years, as you head into the playoffs, if I told you this, you just have to name two teams. And one of them will win the Super Bowl, and I will give you $100, right? If most years, as you go into the playoffs, I give you the opportunity to name two teams, and all that has to happen is one of those teams has to win the Super Bowl, and you will get $100. Are you pretty confident that you could do it?
So if we look back to the years that you're talking about, we went through this stretch where I looked it up. It was like of the 25 AFC championship games, it was something like 22 of them were either Brady, Mahomes, or Manning. And so like we went through this run in the AFC where it's like, okay, you had like a one in two chance really every other year.
Well, even last year. Okay, last year it wasn't Mahomes, but wouldn't the other team you had named have been the Eagles?
Probably. Because I really did think the Eagles were really good last year. I mean, and who else in the NFC?
I mean, you could have picked another AFC team.
Yeah, but I think if you're trying to do it the appropriate way, but I think I would have had a fairly high batting average if you would have said you're asking me at the start of the playoffs.
You just have to tell me one the name of one,
yeah,
and you got to give me the Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
Now, if I ask you the same exercise, first of all, if I gave you two choices, I'm not going to do this, but you can either have two teams, or you can have the field. You're 100% taking the field, aren't you? 100% taking
the field. I'd like to see what happens Sunday. If the Niners, even though their defense is, I think, a problem to the point of, like, I always feel like in general in the playoffs, whatever your biggest flaw is, it gets exposed. Their defense is a problem. They've been able to survive it. But if their entire stretch is at home, well, then all of a sudden I'm thinking about the Niners.
So if the Niners win.
So if the Niners beat the Seattle, Seattle and San Francisco is for the number one seed.
Right.
Furthermore, the Super Bowl's in Santa Clara.
Right. So if the Niners win, you'd feel pretty comfortable. And so it, who then, by the way? Okay, forget it right now because that game's in Seattle. You think the Niners are going to win that game?
I do.
Right now, if you were to name two teams, one of them would be the Niners?
The game's in Santa Clara, by the way. The Niners in Seattle, I think, played week one, and the Niners won in Seattle.
And honestly, the Niners should have won the other day. I mean, that was the Rams. The Rams should have beaten them, Seattle the other day.
But I think you're right.
I think I would
take the field. Because I don't think the Rams are as bad as last night. Like they're banged up on the offensive line, but they're supposed to be getting their offensive lineman back. Like they're going to get Davante Adams back. But the problem with the Rams is if the Rams don't win, I think they have to go to Philly week one.
Well, here
in the wild.
So the Rams, and obviously we're talking about this in the wake of last night's game, where you look up, the Rams have been one of the. In power rankings, they've been number one or two for the last however.
It feels like 2 months,
more. 2 months. And Atlanta has had one of the most disappointing seasons of the year. Obviously,
yes.
They've won some games of late. But in terms of teams where things might have been expected of them, it is literally one of the most. It's not a calamitous team like the Jets, but the Jets were supposed to be a calamitous team. There was a thought that the Atlanta Falcons would be good. And they've been dreadful. And you look up and it's 21-0 at the half. 21-0 at the half. And Matt Stafford, who is going to win the MVP award, he's not now, three picks, including a pick six. And then Bijan Robinson is just going crazy within the end, 195 yards of rushing, two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving. Nice 93-yard gallop for the touchdown run. And so you're like, what do we know? Like, who is good? Who is good in this? Who is good and who is bad? And okay, we know who's bad. The bad teams, they're.
I think that's what we do know. I think that's all we know.
All we do know. They're dedicated
who's
to
bad.
The cause. Yeah. We know the Giants are horrific.
Correct.
We know the Raiders are even worse. And we know the Jets may be worst of all.
And the Titans are bad.
And the Titans. We know the teams that are bad are bad. Although, if you.
Cardinals
look,
are bad too.
Although, it's interesting. If you look at the. If you look at that division, the teams that will be that can win the NFC South, the Bucs and the Panthers, are they really better than the teams that cannot, the Falcons and the Saints?
No, because I mean the Saints,
Falcons 7-9, Saints 6-10,
and I think the Saints
Bucs
have
7-9, Panthers 8-8.
So the Saints have beaten Carolina on the road. They've beaten Tampa on the road. They've swept Carolina. Like they're 3-2 in the division.
Yeah, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. Back to the playoffs and how this can work out. The Rams can still be fifth, which means they would get to play the dregs there. They'd get to play. They would have to travel, but it would either be to Tampa or to Carolina.
Correct.
Okay. They can still be fifth if the Seahawks beat the Niners and they beat the Cards. Let's go ahead and assume they're going to beat the Cards. So they can still be fifth if the Seahawks beat the Niners. If the Niners win, then it will be Seattle that is fifth, and the Rams have a much tougher road at
Correct.
That point.
Because they will likely at that point be playing the Eagles. In the wild card round.
And by the way, in terms of the Panthers and the Bucks, who obviously play
Saturday.
If the Falcons beat the Saints next week,
yes.
The Panthers win the division even if they lose to the Bucks. That renders that game meaningless because then the Panthers and Bucks are both 8-8, but according to tiebreaker, the Panthers win the division. So all they need is the Falcons to beat the Saints or they beat the Bucs.
Which I guess it comes down to that They showed the, you know, when they showed the graphic during Monday Night Football, like explaining this, it didn't make sense because if the Bucs beat the Panthers, they're both 8-9. And then if the Falcons beat the Saints, they're 8-9. All three of them are sitting there, I believe, at 3-3 in the division. The Panthers would be 6-6.
I'm just taking the word for everybody who says this is the way it works out.
Yeah.
If the Falcons beat the Saints, the Panthers win the division, even if they lose to the Bucs. Okay, so your two teams right now would be, right now, choosing right now to win the Super Bowl. Who are they going to be?
The Bills.
Oh, come on.
I love the path. I actually think the Bills are more built for the playoffs than a lot of these other teams because they actually can run the football. Now, what scares me is...
They can't stop the run, and they can't throw the
football. They've been better at it. It wasn't like the Eagles didn't just like...
The truth of the matter is, the second... If you are a Bills fan and looking for good stuff out of that game, it's that the defense, the second half... Again, it's against a Eagles offense that has been woeful and troubled all year long, but they completely shut them down. And... looked like they could be figuring some things out.
There's not a single other quarterback in the playoffs that I'm going to trust in the AFC.
Well, that is surely true, but maybe this is a year where you just don't need, like...
Maybe you need a bus driver.
Your two teams are the Bills and the 49ers?
Yes.
Super Bowl champion
with the right
will either
to,
be...
right to change my opinion on Sunday.
No, I understand that. The Bills or the 49ers, and... Okay, and would you rather take the Bills or the 49ers or the field?
I think you're right. I'd rather have the field this
okay.
year.
Okay, what if I give you another team you can add to that list? At what point would you rather take the teams you have? I'm giving you now three teams. You can either take three teams or the field. The Bills, the 49ers, who's the other one you want to add?
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
I think they're built for the playoffs.
Or the field.
I think I'm still field.
Okay, the Bills, the 49ers, the Eagles, or the...
Rams.
The Rams. Or the field.
Now I'm starting to feel a little better.
I think you might take one of those four. I think I would supplant, I would put the Pats there. I would put the Eagles, the Rams, the 49ers, or the Pats, and I would take that, I would take those four over the field.
When's the last time a quarterback making his first run?
And what is it? Let's be honest. Okay, let's discuss. Drake May is going to now be the MVP because of what he did this week and because of what Matt Stafford did this week, right?
Likely.
And if you go by numbers, honestly, a lot of his numbers are better.
Yeah.
Does it just feel too early?
You want to play the schedule game?
Does it just feel too early for Drake May to win the MVP?
No. To me, the problem with Drake May is it's not too early. Like, I have no problem. It's the fact that I don't know if they've done anything. They've beaten really bad teams. Here are their wins against teams that are going to make the playoffs. The Bills.
Split.
And potentially the Ravens.
That's it?
That's it. Their other wins are the Dolphins. I guess you potentially the Panthers. Panthers. Dolphins, Panthers, Bills, Saints, Titans, Browns, Falcons, Bucks, Jets, Bengals, Giants, Ravens, Jets. That's my issue.
That's quite an issue.
This is my whole thing. It's like I'm not even playing up to the Bills crowd. You tell me, like, what's more impressive.
Who are the Bills beating who is going to make the playoffs?
So right now... We have, it's kind of tough too. So either the Ravens or the Steelers are going to make the playoffs. They've beaten both.
Ravens, Steelers, Pats.
They have beaten the Patriots, and they have beaten the Panthers.
That's it.
Ravens, and the Steelers. Bucks. And the Bucks. So they're going to likely beat whoever, although they did lose. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to beat the Panthers or the Bucks are the two teams. So they've beaten more.
The other NFL-related story of interest to me yesterday was the news that Marcus Freeman is going to stay at Notre Dame. I guess he had to announce that. Did he have to? Well, they had a new deal. He got a new deal.
I think this is a new, in the same way, have you been noticing that teams are announcing guys that have re-signed? Like guys that are staying?
Right.
I think it's the same thing.
We just assume, right. So, whatever, you get a little whatnot. And the question, of course, is would he have been better off staying in Notre Dame or taking the Giants job? And I think it's pretty clear you're better off staying in Notre Dame.
Yeah, because I would love to have Marcus Freeman as the Giants coach. I tried to not go down that path because I didn't want to
hopes up.
Right, have that idea be in my head because it didn't really make sense to me for the exact reasons that you're talking about.
Well, in the end, and this is maybe there are other examples that would work out differently. But if you look at the coaches this year, I mean, listen, I think a college football job is harder in this way. You got to remake your roster every year.
Yep.
You've got to remake your roster every year.
As we saw with him, one of the Notre Dame challenges is going to be if you're trying to break in a new roster, most of the time your best games are going to be front loaded and right. You're having to break it in.
Right.
You know,
it's like a challenge at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you do have control of your roster.
Yep.
And in the new world where recruiting is really just based on how big a check you're signing, recruiting is not, in some ways, it's a bigger burden because you literally are recruiting every player all year long. Even after they're on your team, they could be saying, screw this, you didn't start me, you didn't give me 3 carries, I'm entering the portal. So you're recruiting all year long. On the other hand, recruiting is in some ways easier because you have a general manager now and they're just writing checks. It's not often you don't have to show up at someone's game 72 times in high school, right?
Well, and to me, the other big difference is if you're at Notre Dame, this is not like, oh my God, we missed on these guys. We're going to pay the price. It's like, oh, okay, we missed on them. Like, let's go fix it next year.
Right. So, but in the end, if in the end the Giants had, even if Cam Ward were on the Giants,
yep,
right? I just don't. I mean, there was obviously a flurry of excitement about Jackson Dart, but do we know he's a franchise quarterback? We
no.
do not.
Jeff, I don't know if he's going to last a year.
So, and then if you look at the first year coaches who were successful this year and the ones who were not, let's see if we can discuss a theme.
Okay,
Mike Vrabel,
no,
Ben Johnson, highly successful. Pete Carroll, Aaron Glenn, highly unsuccessful. Any commonality? Just take those four, the two most successful and the two least successful.
The two most successful had quarterbacks.
Yes.
Obviously. Also quarterbacks on rookie deals.
Quarterbacks on rookie deals who, by the way, weren't actual rookies.
Yep.
So you didn't even have to suffer for the first rookie. They'd already been through the worst of the feel it out year. And so you had quarterbacks on rookie deals who were potentially franchise quarterbacks. And then you had Pete Carroll and Aaron Glenn who did not have quarterbacks. And then if you go through others, by the way, some other first-year coaches, I mean, I don't know if you would have said that Liam Cohen had a quarterback. There was a lot of skepticism about whether he did. But it turns out he has a pretty good quarterback and a terrific defense. He at least has someone you could build around as a quarterback, right?
I actually think what Liam Cohen has done, weirdly to me, is more impressive than what the other two have done, because I think Liam Cohen's quarterback really isn't that good. But I think what he has proven is, like, they have built a good run game, which he's always been able to do, whether it was with the Rams, whether it was the Bucks. Like, they've been put together a proven run game, and they have put together a really good defense with guys that weren't exactly household names. You know, like, it wasn't just like, look at all that talent. Like, they've put together, like, I think he's done a very good job.
At least had a credible quarterback. Yeah,
yeah.
At least had a credible quarterback. But then, and then Schottenheimer, you would not say he has had a great year or a disastrous year, right?
They were 7-10 last year, and obviously Dak was hurt. This year, they're probably going to be 8-8-1.
And, you know, they had the trades. They, like, right. Whatever injuries,
the defense
they trade,
was horrific
whatever.
To start the year. That wasn't his fault.
Schottenheimer was fine and had a quarterback. And then the one, honestly, the only one who definitively did not have a quarterback and yet you can say had a successful first year is Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Because they may have found a quarterback.
Sure.
That's what you're hoping. You sift through all the stuff and you end up finding someone, and Chuck may well be. Have you seen enough to believe that he could be?
I've seen enough to where I sit there and go, I don't love this quarterback draft. And obviously they're not going to be picking high enough anymore because they've won some games. I've seen enough to where I go, try him next year. And if you find your guy, you found him. And if not, then you, like, I think next year's draft's going to be better.
All right. Grizzlies got a game tonight. More to talk about. Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday after that. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Grizz tonight, NBC. Jeffrey, how do you feel about that? Big game, and let's just check the handy dandy injury report. How many, off the top of your head, don't count, how many Grizzlies players do you believe are listed as out? Top of the head.
9, because wasn't an 8, and now we're adding KCP.
Well, let's see. Okay, here we are, KCP. Out, hamstring soreness. Brandon Clark, out, calf strain. Zach Edey, out, ankle stress reaction. Ty Jerome, out, calf strain. John Conchar, out, thumb UCL surgery recovery. Jemai Meshach, two-way transfer. Scottie Pippen, great toe surgery recovery. And Vince Williams Jr., patellar tendonitis. So that is what? And then Jock Landale is questionable. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out, and Landale is questionable. Meanwhile, Embiid.
Okay, so that's Landale moving up, because I was thinking it was 8 the other night and then adding KCP.
Right. But here's the thing. Ja's healthy, Jaren's healthy.
Yeah.
Cedric Coward's healthy.
Ish.
Ish. That's fine. Okay, that's fine.
Playing.
Santi Aldama's healthy. Jalen Wells is healthy. They have enough pieces here, right? They don't have Zach Edey.
Minus the middle if Embiid's going to play.
Well, that's a problem. And Embiid is questionable. He had gotten off to a slow start, had played very well, missed the last game, but has been upgraded to questionable. Feels like he will likely play.
Yes.
Feels like he will likely play.
And that's where they've been getting crushed.
More on this with Chris Harrington. Straight up at 10 o'clock. Obviously, the big news in the NBA last night, a couple of interesting stories. Cavs, who've languished through a pretty mediocre season, beat the Spurs.
Yep.
113.
Dominated the second half.
To 101. Massive third quarter. By the way, our friend Dylan Brooks helped the Suns do what the Wizards could not. I mean, what the Grizzlies could not.
Beat the Wizards. Well, the Grizzlies just tired him out.
Dylan had 26 as the Suns beat the Wizards. But the big news, of course, is that Jokic leaves with an injury.
Yep.
And we're waiting to hear that he is having another absurd season. averaging 29.9, while leading the league in both rebounds and assists.
Yeah.
At 12.4 and 11.1. Just absurd. Just absolutely absurd. And obviously, for a league that is, the injuries are a massive problem in this league. And all of a sudden, what the hell is any interest in any Denver game?
Oh, without him?
You know,
zero.
Like, zero. And so it's a massive problem for the NBA, and this obviously would be a massive problem for Denver. It didn't look particularly.
He's not really a guy that has a history of also overselling injuries.
Right. Okay. Some other things I wanted to get into before we have a busy second hour with Chris and with Fishman. We did have some other college football news, which I wanted to get to briefly, and then maybe we'll tackle one of these questions that will loom in 2026.
All right.
For the Memphis sports scene. Jordan Hankins, former defensive coordinator at Memphis, goes to East Carolina, where he will be defensive coordinator. Circle that, Jeffrey. Revenge game for Jordan Hankins, don't you think?
Noted.
Circle that. Chip Kelly, interesting career progression, gives up being head coach at UCLA to be the OC at Ohio State. He then goes to be the OC at the Raiders. Does not work out well. Now, OC at Northwestern. Go Cats.
Well, and the other report was that was originally Belichick's target. And so
Chip Kelly.
Correct. And so that kind of implies to me that he might have picked Northwestern over
North Carolina Petrino.
Yeah.
You wouldn't normally be picking Northwestern
right
over North Carolina.
But he probably, you know, hey, Northwestern's going to be a lot more stable, most likely.
Interesting. You had Lincoln Riley taking shots at Notre Dame. I just have very little interest in that. He said had Notre Dame lived up to their word of playing anywhere, anytime, we'd be playing the next 2 years. This is the UCLA Notre Dame rivalry. They didn't want to play it. Notre Dame didn't want to play it early in the year.
Yep.
And it's just, again, it's just to me something we have seen throughout college sports. No one gives a damn about fans. Like, no one gives a damn about fans. And fans, I'm sure if you're a USC fan, you're saying, we don't have to play them either. Just like Tennessee fans say to Memphis, we don't need to play you either. Just like whatever. Any rivalry that has died because of ego, because of worries, a fear, because of what is going to make us look bad. It is basically an F you to fans who actually would enjoy this game and have enjoyed this game. That game has been played.
I think.
Every year since 26,
yeah.
Except for World War II and then 2020.
Yeah.
That's it. Total disrespect. But again, if you can tear up Oklahoma, Nebraska, you know what I mean? Like, well, what the hell?
Oklahoma State.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can tear up anything. It's just ridiculous. No one gives a damn. No one gives a damn about fans. It all comes down to...
Ironically, the only people that quote-unquote give a damn about fans, weirdly, has become the television executives, but they only care in the sense of, we want the biggest games possible, but they couldn't even save this one.
Cam Coleman, tremendous receiver from Auburn, enters the portal. Any idea where he's going to go?
Highest bidder.
Yeah, he'll, and it will be a high bidder. And Ole Miss has flown off to the Sugar Bowl in the Pats plane.
Correct.
Got a lot of publicity for the Pats, the New England Patriots plane. That's the connection between Bob Kraft and Joe Judge, Charlie Weiss Jr., et cetera, I guess is the connection there. Is that the idea?
So my understanding is the company that leases the plane, like that's just a company that Ole Miss uses. I would presume, though, the Pats not going on the Pats plane being available.
Plane being available was key to
correct.
Is it interesting to you at all that it does seem to me, as I hear national people talk about these four games, although the biggest spread, I think, is still Miami, Ohio
right.
State.
It is.
It feels like the narrative, the team that really... They're like, the spread is 9.5 or whatever, but
yep.
I could see Miami with their, like, people are, rhetorically at least, it feels like to me, giving Miami a chance to keep it. Eh, could be interesting. Gotta watch that game. Whatever. In the end, the faith in Miami falters on Carson Beck.
Yep.
Right? People don't actually believe that he can get through the game without throwing
plainly
three picks. Right.
Yeah.
So, but the team that it seems to me, and I don't like the quote unquote no respect thing that people, because a lot of times teams will say we get no respect when literally they are favorites to win the Super Bowl or something. I do think the team that is being totally getting no respect is Ole Miss here. I hear people talk about them, I hear a lot of people say, yeah, the one that would really shock me is if Ole Miss beats Georgia. And this is an Ole Miss team that was up on Georgia at Georgia not long ago.
They had a
two-score lead in the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter lead. And
so why don't people think Ole Miss can handle or can even really
It's the defense. I really do. I know that some people will say Kiffin and whatnot. I really think the bigger issue is when you watch Ole Miss's defense, even though they've been honestly pretty good, with the exception of this one game against Georgia, they don't pass the eye test. I think that's a big problem. I weirdly think the other team that might actually be getting less respect is also Alabama.
Well, that's true. But maybe they don't deserve respect.
I think two things. I guess
my point is that
I think Ole Miss has played better than Alabama
Ole
the last
Miss
6 weeks.
Ole Miss deserves more respect than they're getting, whereas Alabama, I don't think, deserves more respect than they're getting.
No, I can get on board with that.
I don't think it's crazier things that happen than Alabama beating Indiana. Like, I don't put that one, but I think you're right. I think no one thinks Alabama's going to beat Indiana. How about this for a theory? People don't give Ole Miss much of a shot here, A, because they're going to, it feels like, have to win a shootout. And the guy who presided over the shootouts throughout the course of the season, including that game against Georgia, with his deft play calling, was Lane Kiffin. And so that his absence will really be felt in this one. And secondly, sure, Ole Miss was up in the fourth quarter against Georgia, and this is the rematch. Georgia did win that game. But look what Georgia has done. Look what Georgia did against Alabama in the rematch.
Yeah.
You know,
that
coaching staff and the progression of that team over the season, what happened against Alabama early in the season had nothing to do with what happened against Alabama later. Because, it was totally different Georgia team, and we're looking for the same trajectory to unfold here.
So I don't hate that, because I do think part of it is people think Georgia's ascending, and they thought they believe
Ole Miss is descending, if only because they don't have their play caller.
Correct. I also, though, notice this, and it's where I kind of, I guess,
and they're missing their running back. Maybe
he's listed as probable.
Right.
I will say you can probably trust Pete Golding's injury report more than Lane Kiffin's. But I noticed this during the year, and I don't know if it's eye test or if it was something deeper, but there's this idea that Ole Miss doesn't really get a benefit of the doubt. I'll use two examples. Remember when Georgia beat Florida? Granted, the game's in Jacksonville. Gritty, tough,
right,
rivalry game. Look at what they did. They come back and win. Whereas Ole Miss really handled Florida with the exception of one quarter. They had a terrible second quarter, and Florida really took advantage. Ole Miss wins by 10, Georgia wins by 4, and all of a sudden it's like, that's a good win for Georgia, but it was like a cause for alarm for Ole Miss. That I noticed a lot of that during the year.
And it could be certain brands, too. Like, I think the Ole Miss, you're not going to get the benefit of that.
Maybe some helmet aspect, yeah.
And again, Indiana, same thing, except for Indiana
beat Ohio State.
Beat Ohio State.
Almost the best wins Oklahoma.
Until they did that. All right. And then finally,
also Texas Tech might also be getting disrespected too.
Yeah, I think that's right too.
But I think that definitely goes to the helmet.
That's 100% helmet and conference.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
All right. And then finally, we've been taking up some questions. Yesterday, I think 2026 could be a very big year in Memphis sports. And yesterday, we took up the question of whether Ja would be traded by the trade deadline and whether he would be a Grizzly at this time next year.
Yep.
And it's funny. Someone on Twitter said, they asked Anthony Sane. They said, they tagged Anthony and said, can you explain the strange narrative being pushed on the Jeff Calkins show? And there was no narrative being pushed. We're just taking up these questions. Chris had written about it in the Daily Memphian. And obviously, if you are, honestly, the question of the future of Ja is not some new narrative. It's people nationally have been talking about it for months now, right?
It goes back to before the All-Star break last year.
And I think we both concluded yesterday, both of our prediction is that Ja would not be traded by the All-Star break this year, but that by this time next year, just predictions, whatever, we'll see, that we thought he wouldn't be a Grizzly.
Yeah.
Because my theory there was that in order to keep him happy, you'd have to extend him.
Yep.
This summer. And I don't think they're going to extend him this summer. So whatever. But I don't have tremendous amount of faith in that prediction.
No, we said the prediction
it's
we
kind
had
of the corn flippy.
The prediction we had confidence
was
in
that he would not be traded by trade deadline.
Yeah,
that after the trade deadline, I have much greater confidence in that one. Okay, well, let's take up another question that some might say will be a weird narrative we're pushing, but it's not a weird narrative we're pushing. It's just I think a significant question for 2026, and maybe it's too late to take this up. Maybe we should revisit this another time. But that is the related questions of whether the Memphis Tigers will make the tournament this year.
Yep.
And whether Penny will be the coach of the Tigers at this time next year.
I'm going yes on both. I think the league's really bad. They don't have to be that great to win the league.
South Florida has looked okay.
Ish.
And Tulsa has fraudulently looked okay-ish. They lost by one to K-State.
Okay.
They lost by one to K-State. I think that's their best loss. I think it was on the road K-State by one, I think, as I dimly recall. So you think your predictions there are that they
You nailed it, Jeff.
That they will make the tournament, like a steal.
84-83. I know you were locked in.
I may forget occasionally to register my minivan.
Yes.
But I do not.
You do not forget Tulsa basketball.
Tulsa versus K-State.
No, you're locked in. All American all the time.
So, well, that's the best ending, right? That would be salvaging a bad year by going to the tournament. And then, I mean, Tim Buckley's a new column about this, about how you're going to manage the roster next year. Parth Upadhyay he and John went back and forth about if you could change anything, what would you have change for the Tigers? And Parth said, I'd have them have a good GM who they would listen to, right?
Yeah.
And so if you could escape this bad year with a tournament appearance by winning the conference tournament, then I think you'd feel okay about things going forward, right? Then you'd feel okay about things. Penny would say, listen, I can't do it the way I did last year. Well, listen, we're waiting for big. Presumably, you'd have some players who would come back from this year's team. And so you'd already have a different narrative around that. So you think, yes, they'll make the tournament. And yes, he will be the coach at this time next year.
Yes.
I think the safer bet is to say no, they won't make the tournament. And my reason is this. It's Memphis or the field.
Like, right. Nothing about this team suggests they're just going to.
What makes, again, now, the fact that they, if they do well enough in the regular season in the tournament, that they only have to win two games. If it was winning three, I'd absolutely take the field. Just, can this team string together three good games in a row with out a stumble? Where's the evidence that they can? I don't see any evidence that they can. One of the really striking things to me in the piece where John and Parth were going back and forth, they were each just asked, who would your starting five be? Who's your ideal starting five, right? Here's two guys who play close attention to Memphis basketball. Guess how much overlap there was in their starting five?
One player.
One freaking player.
Doug. Yeah.
Literally all the other players were different. I mean, that's, you can't, like, I don't think there's another team in the country that if you ask the beat writers, what's the ideal starting five, that you would have two beat writers or two people who follow closely coming up with four out of five. Like, what the hell, man? So do I think that they are likely to stumble? Yes, I think they're likely to stumble. And so if they stumble, they won't make the tournament. And then if they don't make the tournament, then there are two possibilities that would provide that Penny wouldn't be back. One would be he decides, I'm just enough already. It's NIL. This is not what I signed up for. We're getting outgunned financially. I can go off into the sunset.
Yeah, this job is not what I was hired.
It's not what I was hired to do, and I wouldn't blame him. Or, honestly, conversely, you could have, and this would be the ugliest scenario, Ed saying, well, no one's coming to the games. We're not getting the Penny bump anymore. The Penny recruiting bump. Like, the people have lost faith in this program, and I got to do the hard thing and make a change. I think either of those paths, the second one is incredibly distasteful, but
I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on the second one.
So it would be the first one.
Yep.
And you don't think that's likely because it's not how Penny's wired. It's never been how Penny's wired.
Exactly. I don't think they're going to pull the trigger and spend and have sunk cost money.
Okay, what if the answer to the first question is no? In other words, are they going to make the tournament?
I still think it's the same scenario.
Then you would say no and no, no. They will not make the tournament. I'm stipulating that. You still think Penny would be the coach this time next year?
Yes. Because I think you're still getting
into
the same scenario.
Is that year, by the way, you're willing to say that would be the last year that missing the tournament would not be enough to move on?
Yeah, then I'd be, because you're still the best job in the league. Because that would mean at this point somebody like Tulsa, South Florida, UAB, who you probably outspend.
And by the way, the gap between best job in the league in basketball is significantly bigger than football.
Totally.
For Ryan not to win the league isn't an indictment, but it's a much closer call with Memphis, South Florida, Tulane. You can argue that they're outspending him.
Yeah.
Whereas
in basketball,
it's not a close call.
No.
You should win the league.
Yes.
And so you think they'd forgive him once, but not twice.
Yep. They still had a really good year last year. And I understand.
They had a really, really good year last year.
Like, and 100%. It sucked the way that it ended. You lose both your starting and your backup point guard.
You know what I think, though? I think the way that I've never blamed them for that loss. I never thought that was bad.
No.
But I think almost the bigger, why wasn't there any carryover from that year to this year, right, in terms of fan interest, enthusiasm,
it's a
whatever?
Postseason sport.
Well, I think there's two reasons. I think the bigger reason is there was no carryover in roster.
I think that's part of it.
If you had had P.J. Haggerty coming back, which would have been more important for this year? winning that first game and then losing the next one, or having PJ Haggerty back?
Haggerty.
Okay. Winning two games and going to the Sweet 16, or having Haggerty back? I think going to the Sweet 16 probably would have been bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, it's how can you have momentum and carryover when literally it is an entirely new roster? I don't, any carryover for that is lost because of the roster.
I just go back to in real time, because you and I talked about this because you covered the game. Watching it from here, I thought it was a perfect, like, I'm not saying, oh, they shouldn't even bother going to Seattle and playing the game. But when I sat there and was like, you saw they didn't have 2 point guards.
I didn't. Yeah, it's funny.
The reaction was like,
I thought the reaction from whatever, it's the part of the fan base that we see online.
I think there was common man fan base.
I was stunned by how angry people were about that loss, given that I thought it was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.